Okay, Bill Barker from Save Bait and Sanctuaries, thanks so much for joining me on 2SER this morning.
Yeah, pleasure, Stefan.
Why don't you tell us a bit about the Batemans Marine Park and why these marine sanctuaries were introduced in the first place?
The marine park is part of a statewide, national, international effort to create protected areas where marine life can flourish undisturbed. The Batemans Marine Park is fairly large. It stretches from around Ulla Dulla down nearly to Bermagui. It comprises a variety of zones which allow for different types of usage. The most important kind of zone from the conservation perspective is the sanctuary zone, where all extractive activities are prohibited. Now, in the Batemans Marine Park, less than 20% of the park as a whole is set aside in sanctuary zones, which leaves over 81% available, particularly for recreational fishing, but for other uses. The marine park was declared in 2006, and the zones were established in 2007. So they've been there for over 13 years now. During that period, the science tells us that the fish, the marine life in those sanctuary zones will grow larger, more numerous, more prolific in terms of reproduction. And so they play an important part in the conservation of the marine environment and the achievement of the objectives of the legislation covering this, which is to conserve biodiversity and to sustain ecosystem integrity and function.
I understand that some of these sanctuary zones are starting to be removed. How did this come about?
Unfortunately, the current state government, which has been in power since 2011, has never seemed particularly sympathetic to the idea of marine conservation. They already wound back some sanctuary zone protections in relation to beaches and rocky headlands. And then last year, they came out with what was, in my view, something of a body blow to the whole marine park, which was to roll back six sanctuary zones, open them up to recreational fishing. Now, not only was this against the sort of principles of marine park design, but it was completely without any kind of scientific justification, and there was no meaningful consultation with the community here. And so people in the community have been deeply concerned about this. During the time since the rollback announcement was made, we've had the fires and COVID-19, of course, and obviously people have been otherwise preoccupied and, you know, understandably so. But now, a year after these sanctuaries have been rolled back, people are taking the view that this is not good enough and we need to have these decisions reversed. The government took these decisions in spite of their own legislation, which requires a consultation be undertaken before any decisions are made. And so what we've had now is a case of decision first, consultation afterwards, which only adds insult to the injury.
What reasons then did the government give for the removal of these sanctuaries last year?
Well, that's a good question. As I've said, there was no science or no considered policy and no consultation behind this. They didn't even inform their own Marine Estate Management Authority, which is responsible for managing the whole area. The timing tells us all about what was going on, though. The idea was first announced just a few weeks before the 2019 state elections, and at that time there seemed to be quite a lot of concern in the government that it was going to lose votes in regional areas to the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party. And there's little doubt that this idea was put out as a way of shoring up support for the local member among voters who are recreational fishers. Now, if you ask the government what the reason was, they would probably tell you that the intention was to open up more fishing opportunities for locals and tourists. But this doesn't really hold water. Over 80% of the marine park was already available for recreational fishing, and if you follow this line of reasoning, you'd end up with no marine park at all. The timing and the lack of normal policy preparation makes it pretty clear that this was a short-term political decision without any scientific, environmental or community merit.
Right. Okay. And now there's a campaign on. It's called Save Batemans Sanctuaries. Who's organising the campaign and what are the goals?
Well, this campaign is being driven by the local Nature Coast Marine Group. This is a group of people in the local area who've been around as an organisation for about 15 years, mainly promoting appreciation and love of the marine environment, but inevitably getting drawn into advocacy and other activity aimed at trying to protect the marine park. And we've been concerned about developments in the marine park space for many, many years, and we've participated in all sorts of consultations. We've had people on the Marine Park Advisory Committee for many years injecting their views. But unfortunately, the process that the government has set up is not very effective in translating community opinion into real action. It's more of a box-ticking exercise where the government sets things up so that they can say they've undertaken consultation, when in reality they are just ignoring people's views. So this year we've sort of got to the point where we feel we have to get out in the public space to make our points clearer. And so we have been involved in promoting our social media, traditional media, of which we've had quite a lot over the last few months. And the paddle out represented an opportunity for people physically to come out and say, no, we don't want this approach to marine management. We want these sanctuary zones restored. We have been heartened by the voice of the Environment Minister, Matt Keane, who, when asked whether he would restore the sanctuary zones that have been rolled back, he said yes, they would. And he's promised to come down here and see the situation for himself. So we're hoping to be able to hold him to that undertaking and to work in a respectful and positive way to try to ensure that the broader views of the community are taken on board by the government instead of just listening to a very small number of people as they do at the moment.
Yeah, okay. And as you mentioned, you had a paddle out event on the weekend. Tell us a bit about the event and what its purpose was.
Well, the purpose was, as I suggested, to give local South Coast people an opportunity to show their support for the marine park and the sanctuaries that are there to protect marine life. And we were tremendously heartened by the response. We had people from all walks of life come to the event. There were younger people, women, who were often left out of the consultation. We've had the traditional owners, Oyster and Abalone industry representatives, and just that broader perspective, families who can come out and really just let their views be known. And it was really quite heartening, the positive atmosphere, the happiness, the joy, in fact, that people felt to be able to not only express their views, but actually get out on the water and be part of the marine environment themselves. And it gives us every hope that we will be able to grow this campaign over coming months and into the new year. And hopefully the government will eventually listen to this broader strength of opinion coming from everybody in the community.
Mm. And so as you do move forward, what are sort of some of the next goals for the campaign, and what are some of the plans for the campaign moving forward?
Well, as I mentioned, the Environment Minister, Mr. Matt Keane, has spoken very positively about restoring the marine park sanctuary zones, and so we'll be looking for him to visit the area, and we'll be looking to meet with him and to discuss these issues with him. There is also an ongoing review of the marine park as a whole, and this is another issue of contention, because the current rollback of sanctuary zones is quite outside this broader process. But we're participating in that broader process, which we expect will eventually lead to some new management plan and management arrangements, which will kind of set the marine parks in stone for years to come. And we're very hopeful that when this happens, it'll be done on the basis of broad community consensus, because at the end of the day, everybody is really in agreement that we want a healthy marine environment. This is not just the view of a few dyed-in-the-wool environmentalists. It's the view of local tourist operators, recreational fishers, people across the board. And so we should be able, in this broader process, if the government is sincere and open in its approach to consultation, we should be able to get there, I think, and it will be a great thing for our local community and for future generations as we tackle the challenges of climate change and other problems that we face into the future.
Okay, great. And how can people find out more about the campaign if they want to get involved?
People can go to our website, savebatemansanctuaries.org.au, or they can follow us on Save Bateman Sanctuaries on Facebook and Instagram. Or they can go to the website of the Nature Coast Marine Group, which is www.ncmg.org.au. There's a wealth of information there. We welcome anybody who wants to contact us to give us views, comments, and this will strengthen us as we move forward.
Fantastic. Well, Bill, all the best for the campaign, and thank you so much for joining me on 2SER this morning.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Seth. That was good. Thank you.